The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may I be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the Holy Order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, Anicca. All formations are subject to suffering. Dukkha. All things are without self. Anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hiridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. By this way, and in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassion and comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer. So we can drop that and end suffering.
I think last Sunday one of the things I was talking about was that I noticed by some of my behaviors that the attention was on conditioned mind, mm-hmm. and was talking with the mentor about that, and just came to the conclusion that I wanted to clean some things up around that, not because I should or uh-huh. it would make me the right person or because those have been motivations before, uh-huh. and that usually leads to suffering, but just because I actually wanted to.
Yeah, so just noticing that, you noticed that maybe your attention was on conditioned mind, and that in a conversation with a mentor, that just became, it sounds like, a genuine wanting to clean some things up.
Yeah, and I think the important thing about that whole process, that it was within the conversation with the mentor. So uh-huh. it gave it the best chance to be in coming from a life process rather than a quote, self-improvement process.
Okay, yeah. So that commitment to clean some things up came from the conversation with the mentor.
There was
more of a chance that was coming from a life process.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to get good or get better improvement.
Right, which is kind of the old training.
Yeah.
And so then really the commitments that I made for the week were really about being in relationship with the mentor, not mm-hmm. on a mm-hmm. not so much on an outcome. Mm-hmm. And so like two of the commitments were I'm gonna have two check-ins with the mentor, one at lunch and one at the end of the day. And I went with Sherry's suggestion about having a little calendar on the wall where we get to write the wins on it, uh-huh. and looked at some things that I wanted to just, let go of, like this little habit thing that happens with caffeine, where I'm enjoying it, I can say no to it, and then all of a sudden it becomes this thing that I have to have. Mm-hmm. So we're just like, well, let's see what it's like to just not have it. Mm-hmm. And just things like on my phone that I don't really necessarily need to keep checking in on, just to let go of that for a while. Uh-huh. And again, to do all that within the relationship with a mentor.
Uh-huh, yeah, okay. So, making this commitment to check in with a mentor regularly, afternoon and evening, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And it sounds like looking at some things that may tend to be a distraction like caffeine and apps on the phone.
Yeah.
And coming, sounds like coming to an exploration of those things, your relationship with those, but doing it with the assistance of the mentor.
Yeah, and what I was saying about that, doing it within the assistance of the mentor, is it was really just a different framework. Before, it really was kind of like doing those things were bad, improve these mm-hmm. things that are kind of wrong with you, so we're going to try to be good. And within the context of the mentor, it feels like one of the very few times that very first times that I've had a real, like, there really wasn't anything bad about any of those things. Mm-hmm. It, in fact, on some level, you know, there was some enjoyment in some of those things. Mm-hmm. It's just that I want to do this. And this is, I want to wake up and end suffering. Mm-hmm. So it's totally fine. You know, it's like what the Buddha said, like, there's suffering. You can do it as long as you want. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, there's things that are enjoyable. And if you want to do, if you want to end suffering, then there's a way to do that.
Wow. Yeah.
And to just kind of be in a place to step out of the self-hate enough, mm-hmm. to tap into, yeah, you know what, those things, I get it. You know, that's kind of fun or enjoyable at times. And this is what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's really, I'm really tapping into, is what I really want to do is I want to be in that relationship
yeah.
of support uh-huh. and acceptance uh-huh. and love. Uh-huh. And it doesn't have a judgment, or I don't need to get to a certain place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can just feel how the human can flourish in that kind of environment.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, just how the human flourishes in that environment of acceptance and, you know, to really get, sounds like, just really get clear on what the focus of attention is, you know,
yeah.
and suffering.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, you know, it's not like, doesn't make it on the list of an evil, bad person thing to have some little caffeine or look at, you know, an app on the phone. But, you know, in relationship with the mentor, just really going for what is, you know, the path to ending suffering.
Yeah.
And the kindness in that.
Yes.
Rather than the, it sounds like, you know, just the unkindness and I'm trying to be yeah. a better person.
Yeah.
And
which always implies there's something wrong with you.
It always implies there's something wrong.
Yeah. And that just doesn't, it always feels kind of bad. You know, even if you kind of keep the commitments, it feels conditional.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? And so that's your, ugh. You know? And so what I got to see this week was, again, like, what I was doing before, I mean, it's really a good, what you said, I mean, it is pretty much a distraction, or at least it's a place where the attention goes mm-hmm. when I'm in those behaviors. And when I'm not doing that, then it's not like, oh, so I'm just guaranteed to be in bliss all day. But what I did notice was there was possibility
uh-huh.
that when the attention wasn't on those things, those behaviors, or thinking about those things mm-hmm. in a conversation about mm-hmm. those things, it was freed up.
Uh-huh.
And I love that. That's what I was recording about. It's like, yeah, some of those things were enjoyable, uh-huh. but I think I'll trade those to live in possibility. Because
mm-hmm.
that's so exciting. Like, beyond a simple pleasure.
Yeah.
It's almost like the simple pleasure and everything else, you know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, that really noticing that when the attention was on those things, mm-hmm. that it wasn't open to, you know, again, nothing really wrong with that, but it wasn't open to bigger possibilities, you know, that it was somewhat, collapsed at that point to...
Yeah, it's limited.
It's limited, you know, and to just come realizing, oh, yeah, I'm making a choice to live in a place of... unlimited possibilities.
Yeah.
You know, to be open to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to be invited into that, as I was hearing you saying, being open to that, there was an invitation.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah,
sure, why not? You know?
Why not? Why not? Yeah.
And the other thing I just saw too, I mean, gosh, it was like, everybody was recording every day. I'm like, wow, this seems like pretty dramatic shifts. Like, I had these things that are on within my role to do, and they were just sitting like stale in the queue. Like I had done some work on them, but somehow could not follow through with completing them or communicating about where I was with them. And so they were just being used to torture me, you know, essentially. Like, oh my gosh, that thing's been going on, that thing in the kitchen with the light bulbs? Holy cow, it's been like over a year, you know? And it's just such being held in place by self-hatred.
Uh-huh.
And it's like I had this thing in the draft for like a month.
Uh-huh.
You know, there really wasn't any other information that I needed.
Yeah.
I just needed to send it,
uh-huh.
but it just wouldn't let me,
uh-huh.
you know? Every time I would look at it,
yeah.
to even put the attention on it, it would just come right in like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They're going to say, you're just doing this now?
Yeah, it gets better the longer, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's good to know people relate.
Yeah, I was going to say only a month.
Yeah, and it's funny because I took it out of the draft and I was like, this is good. This is like solid. Uh-huh. You know, like, wow. The person was super thorough mm-hmm. in their investigation of why this wasn't working and why the fix wasn't working and, you know, calling the light bulb company and why isn't this matching. I mean, they did a bunch of stuff. And it was funny, so I wrote all that stuff and then I put in, you know, what I thought the recommendation, I gave different options about the next step and then the recommendation. Mm-hmm. And the response from the guy was, you know, thanks for all this. Yes on all the recommendations, including this, this, and this. I was like, the drama of ego. James waiting. It's like what? This is really great, but why did it take you so long?
Yeah,
there wasn't any of that.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just see, like, life doesn't have anything going about that kind of thing.
Wow.
I mean, life is right here and right now. Oh, yeah. This is helpful. How about, I use the recommendations.
Wow.
You can see why we're not allowed to communicate.
You can see why we're not allowed to communicate.
Because it just completely just deflated ego.
Yeah, there was this thing that was hanging out, you know, maybe not too much aware of it, but it was like this fodder for self-hate.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
just draining the energy.
Yeah. And there was, you know, just this stepping into it, doing it, and communicating.
Yeah.
And the response was like, you know, ego is kind of left scrambling, like, you know, what do I do, you know, because it was received.
Yeah, it was, which, those are just good things to get on the recorder.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how many of those have I had?
How many, yeah.
It's like, no, the response wasn't, you idiot. The response was not like, that took you so long. There, I mean, it's never that from moving the place that I live.
Yeah.
You know, so how long am I going to keep believing something that says it's going to be that when there actually isn't any evidence of that?
Yeah.
Which is why recording and listening is so helpful. This is actually what happened. This is what it said was going to happen. This is actually what happened.
Right. This is what's real.
This is what's real.
And this is the lie I'm told. And have that recorded and, you know, to be reminded of that over and over and over again. Apparently, it's what it takes for us conditioned humans.
Yeah. Well, that's right when you said what it takes for us conditioned humans. I mean, to give the person a break, that's been said to them over and over and over again. And it probably in some way has been their experience. Either somebody said, oh my gosh, or they said, oh, okay, well, thanks. And then the filter said, oh, they're so annoyed with you. Like, thanks, finally. You know, so it felt like maybe that really did happen.
Exactly.
But here, who we talk to here, it's so clear. I mean, you just can't put that projection on. It doesn't fit.
Yeah.
Thanks for all this. Yes to all your recommendations. There's no place to put an ego projection onto that.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you distort that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Training.
Yeah. I mean, you could make a big effort, but it's just like, it would be,
yeah.
But anyway, just to have some compassion for the person. Who that's been the conditioning, so of course they're going to believe that again because that's what they've been trained to do.
Absolutely.
So recording and listening, I mean, it is kind of a retraining,
mm-hmm.
but it's a retraining to what is actually true,
mm-hmm.
which really makes it stick.
It is a retraining, and it's and we're constantly retraining to bring, you know, the focus of the attention, and the recorder gives it some. What's the word? It makes it real. It gives it, you know, something that we can go back to and listen to, and it's documented.
It's documented, and in that place, when you said you're kind of using your hands, it's like, what it really does is it brings you back to center, not back to that particular thing, but it brings you back to that resonation about the that like kind of vibration, that being connected to what's actually so as a process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is sort of an example. Well, no, nobody's actually ever done that here, and you know, but it just brings you back to that calibration of being in truth.
And
it's sort of like that's an example of that.
Yeah.
A common example of that.
I mean, that calibration of coming back to being in truth. I mean, it's the whole thing you've been talking about this morning with the, you know, distractions. you know, just letting those go, coming back to that recalibration with truth. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, getting it on the recorder and the calendar of that.
It was good to document the whole week what was actually happening, because every time I would talk about it, it was like, I mean, it really was amazing to watch the shift in that being freed up to all possibilities, because that example I just gave was like one thing. It was like, it was just busting through all these procrastinations. Oh, because what I got to see is what it normally does is, I really should do that thing. And then there's this like feeling bad. And then it comes in, you know what, why don't we just go do this? And you don't have to do that now. Yeah. So it sets up like a coping, which is really the maintenance of the self-hate.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, you can go look on an app or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can overeat or you can do, you know, all this stuff. And, or we can go have some tea, caffeine tea. Mm-hmm. And then there's like, okay. And there's like a soothing of ego, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw was when I agreed not to do those things, I got to see that's how that process went. And it's like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I feel so bad.
Yeah.
And it's that place of like, why not? I mean, it's like, I already know that's how that goes.
Uh-huh.
And there really isn't anything else to do. I've already moved to the monastery and cleared out most of these distractions. What the heck?
Right.
You know, just stay here
uh-huh.
and keep going. Wow. Not go off on the side with ego and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. believe this little process of just draining your life force.
Yeah.
And again, so then if you can just kind of sit with that, which is why meditation is so important. To just sit through those little pulls, you know, those little like, oh, I can't, I don't want to feel like this. Ooh, yeah, yeah, let's do that later. Okay, good, I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
ooh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, just to hang out, that stuff always passes through anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're in a relationship with a mentor, then you can go there, mm-hmm. and then there's an encouragement, like, well, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do we need to do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about this?
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel the energy built to mm-hmm. do something around, like, breaking through that procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that, like, you're available to it, that impulse. And you don't want to override it.
Yeah.
You just get, it's almost like you just get on board with it. It's like surfing or something.
Right.
Here comes the impulse to go to do that email that's been sitting in the thing for a month, and before be like, you know, like, get away. And I override the energy that was actually available to do that. And what I got to see, it really was like, get on your surfboard and just ride it through, which would normally kind of feel terrifying, and like the ego, of course. But when you're in a relationship with a mentor, it doesn't feel, you're fine.
Yeah.
There's that support.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That energy arises to do something, and you don't have to do it alone, even though there might be that ego resistance.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a relationship going on with someone that really loves you, that really wants to support, and then you get on the wave, and you ride it, and it's exhilarating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus, and sounds like, you know, you're just really seeing the clear distinction between soothing ego and riding the wave.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's
we'll take riding the wave.
Yeah.
And if we go down the soothing ego, that's not a problem either, because actually I have to see a bunch of stuff up around
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And that's really good.
Yeah.
So, and I can go talk to the mentor about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's no way to lose as long as we're staying in that relationship with the mentor.
Yeah, that relationship is what is essential.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, whatever's happening, doing it with the company of the mentor makes it illuminating.
Yeah, and it's good to know that if I'm not doing that, I'm in relationship to the ego. I just know that.
Wow. Yeah.
So
that
makes it pretty clear.
Like, really? Who do I
it's
want?
Not like, oh yeah, I'll just call on the mentor when things are really or something.
Uh-huh.
It's like, if I'm not in relationship with the mentor, mm-hmm. I'm in relationship, you know.
Yeah.
If the attention isn't here with life, then of course it's going to be with the habit, which is to have it on egocentric karma conditioning self-hate.
Yeah. As you were saying that, I made that face because I just had this image. It's like, okay, so I'm going to hang out with the thugs. I'm going to hang out with these sleazy, slimy, you know, bottom of the barrel guys, or, you know, whatever. And then, you know, every once in a while, when I feel like I want a shot of goodness, I'm going to go over to, you know, and knock on the mentor's door. And you know, why? You know? Ooh. It's like that. It's just that sleaziness is kind of hard to
wash off.
Wash off.
Yeah.
You know?
When it's hard to know you're in that.
It's hard to know.
Goes,
yeah.
Look around.
Right.
Is this who, is this the company you want to, is this
yeah.
the,
right.
I mean, you just get so identified. It's like, well, no, this is just how it is. Or this is how I get by. Well, this is how I take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, look at the company you're keeping. Look at what they're doing. You know,
yeah.
you just say, look what the voices are talking about.
Yeah.
Look what the voices are convincing you to do.
Yeah.
Where is the payoff for the person?
Right. Right.
You know, but until you have that, it's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell.
That you're hanging out with the thugs. And
right.
once in a while, going over to the,
yeah.
you know, seeing who you are actually.
Yeah. Until you start to really get a sense of the exhilaration
uh-huh.
it is to be hanging out with
yeah.
what's authentic.
Yeah, the exhilaration. And I think the other thing is that there's enough not going to self-hatred that I can feel that the person is worth it.
Uh-huh.
There's
uh-huh.
such a deep, deep
wow.
belief of unworthiness.
Yeah.
That was the other piece, that even if I could see the choice, there's just too much self-hatred
mm-hmm.
to not
mm-hmm.
make the movement.
Yeah.
And it just seems like through practice, it's not that I feel like I'm worthy now, I'm just less in the story of unworthy. And when you're not in a story of unworthy, that is not even a question, worthy, unworthy. That only exists in it.
Right.
You just,
yeah.
of course you're worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is.
That's
in a place
point.
Of non-separation.
Yeah, yeah. It's just letting that old story go
yeah.
of unworthiness because it
yeah.
never was true.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and to just, with practice, getting to go to what's real.
Yeah.
That person never was unworthy. That person never was deserving of all that self-hate,
yeah.
and then I'm making another choice from what's real.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. Rebecca?
First of all, I just have to comment on our first Paper Wives of the season. I'm so delighted to turn around and see those sitting there in the beautiful, and they, of course, little Stacy, are those Stacy's marigolds?
They're calendula.
Oh, of course. Calendula. I didn't know that one, but I think we've watered them. But there's just, you know, the paper whites around here are such a beacon
mm-hmm.
of
honestly
love and hope
yeah.
and spring is coming to me that I just absolutely love. And their aroma is just so, welcome back, little friend. So I love that conversation, and so much it was brought up that I want to tie it into the workshop yesterday, what we saw.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The process that was laid out that we're going to work, that we're going to practice together for the whole year, it was so beautiful and so heartening because, you know, to tell you the truth, I've always had a challenge with making a change for good, doing it on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could never really, like, get my stride. You know, I tried it many times. Just like the Howler book, I could never work through that whole thing on my own either.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it together, and it was so much fun, and so I'm so looking forward to this same, you know, success and joy with this process, with the making a change for good.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be so
yeah.
much fun.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, to just have the support of Sangha,
mm-hmm.
you know, and have fighting to just see, you know, to have a whole year of, you know, you didn't say it, but, you know, working at on process.
On those five
processes. On those five processes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that we're talking again about the aspects of the personality with that teaching that we got yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
My God, that was so clear, so clarifying,
okay.
especially
yeah.
that whoever wrote in that it's the constellation, the word that they use. Okay, so aspects of the personality or subpersonality are the constellation of the beliefs and the self-hate and the, you know, all together to form this little thing because it's so, I find that so helpful. I guess maybe just because of what the human mind does is it categorizes things or clumps things or groups things or something. So to see, oh, it's these beliefs and assumptions along with this self-talk and then this self-hate thrown in, and that's who this is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
But it sort of, so even who doesn't fit in that sentence, but that's what this is.
Yes.
And to be able to to group those in a way, that group isn't even the right word, it's assemble those in such a way that it makes it so clear what we're dealing with is a something that is not me.
Just kind of the relief to have that clarification about aspects of the personality and really have a greater picture of what's going on with those, or what was referred to as aspects of ego.
Yeah.
What's going on with them? And what's that all about?
Yes, what's that all about? Because that points to, it's a process.
It's a process.
I remember when I first came to practice and we were talking about the five processes. And I'm still so much of time in such a content frame of mind that when you point to a process, the mind would try to make it into a content. And it just, it's taken me a lot of years to bridge that into getting what, okay, processes, got it. I'm getting that's what it's all, that's what we're looking at, and we're sloughing off the content perspective for these processes.
Yeah.
And that again was one of the things that was so helpful about it just being reiterated over and over yesterday in the workshop, that it's a process.
Yeah. It was reiterated over and over again, We're moving beyond content into this process and how that supports practice.
Yes, and I had an example come up just last week that sort of rocked my world. I was recording it. It came through the recording. It wasn't like I hadn't then recorded about it. So that's just another perk of recording, that you just never know what these gifts are going to be, brought. So I was reflecting on talking about my goals for the year. So I have three goals that I set for kind of my best year yet goals. And what I saw was that I've always thought of goals as something that I'm reaching for, that I'm going to attain over time. That's what a goal is. It's something that is a reaching toward a something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the insight that came through was that no, goals are a stemming from. And they're a process stemming from. So for example, one of my goals was to perform at least one act of pure service a day. And I was just looking at that goal, like, okay, so that means I'm going to be looking for how can I be a servant, because that's what I really wanted. And what that insight did is it pointed me back to, because that's what I really want. It stemmed from a deep value, a deep desire of the heart to live a life of service. And so the goal grew out of that.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't that it somehow dropped out of the sky, I put it there, now I have to go and try to achieve it.
Uh-huh.
It was already here.
It was already there.
And the goal stemmed from that. Uh-huh. It wasn't a reaching toward that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
So let me reflect. And so just really in writing goals and in recording of goals, you have this big insight that the goal actually is stemming from what is already within, rather than looking out there trying to get something that's not already.
Exactly.
That's not already here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that what's existing inside. I don't know. In the heart and in what's authentic, that is calling.
Mm-hmm.
For expression, and it gets labeled as a goal, or and up until this point, it's always been something out there trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then as I've been living that goal or practicing that goal, what I've seen is the moment I move to okay, well, my goal is to do one pure service. What's something that I can do that's pure service? What that requires, it doesn't require it actually, it invites me to move to a place of service where I could, everything is service from that place.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not like, I'm going to give Pachi an extra long breath down, because that will be my act of pure service. Like as if that's the act.
Yeah.
The act is what's the service. It's the place of love of Pachi, knowing how much he'll love that, or projecting how much he'll love that. And, it's the place that makes it a pure service.
Yes, would you say it's, you're recognizing the process of service.
Exactly.
And that it's, that's here,
rather
than looking out there for content, this is what service would look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's it. It's the process. So it's all service.
Mm-hmm.
The way I walk into the hall, Abby, is service.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of what we've been talking about and what we're going to be practicing this year is the process.
The process.
Everything. Again, it's a not what, it's how.
It's not what, but how. It's really thrilling, isn't it?
It is so thrilling.
Yeah.
And, and it can go with something. So for years, I would always have the goal. It's interesting. For the first time, probably in my whole adult life, I don't have a goal that revolves around losing weight. I've always had a goal around losing weight. But let's take that one. Look, I'm going to lose 5, 10, 20, depending on the year and how long it's been since I've had a baby. How many pounds I need to lose that year, right? So even something like that, it would be what it was stemming from was a desire for a healthy body, a body that looked and felt good, and all of that. And if I focused on the scale, what the scale said, it would totally corrupt the whole process, or it would actually steal it from a process focus to a content focus, which is why it never works, which is what I think Ashlyn was saying yesterday at a workshop. That's why it never works.
Yeah, I mean, talk about fodder for self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just never going to work because, there's just this unattainable goal, and it's kind of coming from self-hate.
Yes. Well, once it gets made into content. I think
exactly.
It's where the self-hate comes
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
Because the desire for the healthy body that looks and feels good, I don't hear any self-hate in that. But I guess it's possible depending on why. But anyway, the point is that it's always stemming from a loving process, because that's what we are.
That's what we are. And really, it was what Guy was pointing to yesterday of like getting down to what's the root.
Yes.
What is the root here?
What's the root self-hating?
What is it that's driving that, And it sounds like, you're getting in touch with that a bit.
Yeah.
With that, stemming from inside.
Yeah.
Because
it's like what was pointed to a minute ago, like, why not stay with that? That is the real joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not stay with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one last little thing I want to talk about in terms of the time that things can sit on, So, 5 years ago, I was at a monk meeting, a weekly one. I volunteered to see what can we do with all these extra cards that we have, all this extra stationery that we have that we want to put to good use. Well, this past week, it dropped, I don't know. I mean, actually, to be real, I did my little assignment and it just sort of sat there and I didn't ever report back.
Mm-hmm.
5 years. and then this idea came in through around the Africa Vulnerable Children Project, what we could do with these cards. And it was like, nobody said, didn't you take that assignment 5 years ago? And and it was all in time, in life's perfect timing.
It had to incubate. It was all in life's perfect timing.
I just choose to believe that. Yeah, that it wasn't that I was derelict in my duty. It was that it was life's perfect timing.
And right there, wow, just the contrast.
Yeah.
Like I could go to you, loser.
Yeah.
Five years, you know. And I'm not even going to say anything at this point because, and to go and then that other choice, yeah. You know, that this is just what it took.
It did.
You know,
this is the perfect
thing.
This
is the perfect thing.
Yeah. And it didn't happen until this year.
This is the perfect year for it to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just the outlook to have. That's the outlook I choose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there is nothing you can see that it's not a flower. There is nothing you can think that it's not the moon. I have to just tell myself that so many times every day.
Can I just stop you there and just reflect that? Because that is just so, there's nothing you can see that's not a flower. There's nothing that you can think that it's not the moon.
This yesterday's workshop and today's discussion is just so interesting, helpful, inspiring. This morning I've been kind of caught in a story process thing that I get caught in a lot, which is trying to think my way to center, trying to think my way into the moment. Mm-hmm. And so I'll just be really busy doing that, and then over there, there's that, that never works. But I do it anyway. So I drop it and come back, and you know, the process. Mm-hmm. And so here's what's going on. I have a tremendous amount of work to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it. But it's hard. I mean, it's, it's fighting me. And it was just getting caught between, let's just do something that's comfortable.
Uh-huh.
You know, let's indulge our addictions.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and so if I do that the whole time, it's like they're saying, are procrastinating, you're going to get in so much trouble, you're not going to have time, it's going to be crazy hard.
Yeah.
So I get caught in that.
Yeah. Thing. Wow. So there's that. Yeah. A lot of work to do and just getting caught in that crossfire, you know, the pull to, like, because it's labeled as hard, this is hard, and then there's this pull to do something that's comfortable, that's not, quote, hard, and then, but when that comfortable thing is indulged, wow, it becomes way harder with this barrage of, you know, you're procrastinating, you know, now you're even farther behind, you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. So I have started the practice that a previous speaker this morning inspired me to do what, saying to the recorder, recording, this is what Eva says,
uh-huh.
But this is what's true.
Uh-huh.
And I'm getting talked out of doing it a lot, but still, I'm heading in that direction.
Yeah.
And I think the underlying thing that I feel is what I hear monks talk about a lot, which is taking care of the human.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Because the human is going to be slammed if I don't get a stronger relationship with the mentor. I think it's bottom line. If I keep getting talked out of doing what I know needs to be done, because the truth is, it's not particularly fun to do something called comfort, but something that's more comfortable, because it immediately, as I was saying, the person ahead immediately switches tracks and goes to the other side of it. And so I go back to work to do the things that are kind of service for me, and it switches again. Oh God, whatever it said.
As you talk, just the sense of talk about hanging out with the thugs. With the abuse that happens, and realizing that there is somebody there that's really committed to this human being and wants a more loving relationship with the mentor.
Part of the mental is that I developed a couple of physical things that make, work at the computer, that make the work, the particular work that I do, that used to just be so easy that I never thought about. But a couple of physical things that are making it very difficult. And part of the bamboo school is, you just have to get through it. It's all your fault or something. I've done something wrong. But I did have the thought to ask for help. And fortunately, there have been just enough. I have just enough experience through the years of getting to that same place of, ask for help, and doing it, and having it work, that perhaps that's, I really do feel like that's what I'm going to need to do. And I haven't, worked with and for Sherry and Ashwini, and I haven't told them this part yet.
Well, it's recorded. It sounds like you're realizing the need to ask for support on a lot of different levels this morning. The mentor, building that relationship, and also with some physical issues that, to just really seeing the bamboozle and the self-hate in it of you just got to gut it out, and the whole
don't time. Don't let anybody know.
And the whole time.
It's a shameful that you should be doing these little things that you've done for you so long. Not so much anymore.
We're going back to that, beginning talk about communication. And communication.
The communication book is the big problem. Get these other things off my desk.
So we'll read the communication book, and halfway through we'll hear this little story about to just really see that that what an act of service, and an incredibly kind act of service to say, hey, this is what's going on. And,
Well, thank you for that. It's touching. I will do it.
Yeah, and it's stemming, I get as you speak, it's stemming from what we were all been talking about all morning. It's just stemming from love, a deep desire to love. It's not stemming from, gosh, you know,
avoiding all the
avoiding and I gotta be the right person and da 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 da. It's not stemming from that. Yeah, it's just coming from a whole different.
Another thing that was exciting about the workshop yesterday that I liked is so we get guided through this whole process to look at something that gets in our way,
mm-hmm.
and you know, looking at you know what are the voices say, what are the beliefs and assumptions, and going through that process and being guided to do that. And then I think at some point it was like, you know, if you're in an email class or you're getting guidance, you know, that those places can help you do that. And what I heard is that we're being trained to do that for ourselves.
Uh-huh.
That, so back to that relationship with the mentor.
Uh-huh.
You know, that so we're listening to, quote, an outside person guide. Well, we can look to the mentor to guide us through that. I mean, that's a lot of what that two-handed recording is about, for me anyway. And that's so cool. And I think that's what we're always being trained to do, is to go where the guide is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's exciting, it seems to me, and this is just my perspective, but that the Sangha is out of place, has done enough practice,
mm-hmm.
that we can learn to seek the guidance, and there's a and internally,
mm-hmm.
and there's a process to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really concrete way,
mm-hmm.
of being brought through to expose ego,
mm-hmm.
and to be with life.
Mm-hmm. Just how exciting it is to be, wow, they're spending a whole year to work together on this deepening of the practice to seek guidance with the mentor. And
And then it seems like guidance can really be used instead of like, I'm just in this place of suffering. We would now have been able to already look at a bunch of that on our own, and then when we get stuck in that, but in some place in there, then we come, okay, well, I've seen, this is what was going on, this is what I've seen by getting this, and this, and this is, I just can't seem to get past this point, rather than sometimes, like, I'll just show up, identify, and then somebody has to kind of, which is fine, too, but to know that we can get started on our own, and then bring where we are to, I mean, what a... It just feels like an accelerator on waking up.
Absolutely. It's not that you're saying we're going to get to the place where we don't need guidance, that we this is assisting us to come to guidance,
mm-hmm.
with having really that had the tools to look,
mm-hmm.
and say, this is what I'm seeing, and, you know, and ask for assistance for the next step, rather than, you know...
Yeah,
I think we all know that place of kind of spinning. You go to guidance, and you know we're spending the time just trying to
recording on the voices, or
trying to figure out what the heck is happening.
Or not even realizing we're completely done.
The poor guy, you know. Not giving us the lift off to go to the next step.
Yeah, so it requires. What I like is it empowers us to be responsible for our own practice.
Exactly.
Rather than showing up and waiting for someone else to do it for us. Which really puts us in a victim kind of place, and it just sets up a somebody, you know, a guy off or something, and it's like, well, that's not going to work.
Yeah,
it's like we know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the recorder, we have the training,
mm-hmm.
and if we don't have all of that, well, there's also through recording and listening curriculum. There's all kinds, there's coaching, there's all kinds of, and now we have this year-long retreat.
Yeah.
So it's just, I love it when we just kill all the excuses.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it's fine, again, as I was talking about, you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
If you want to continue to do what you're doing, that's completely fine. But this is for folks who are ready to, they just want to.
They just want to.
And here's the support to do it.
Yeah. I know, as you're talking, it's just, you know, we must work out our own salvation diligently.
Yeah.
And it's the difference between being a mature, grown-up person.
Yeah.
And going to, you know, practicing diligently versus being a little kid or a victim.
Yeah.
You know, like, you gotta help me, you gotta help me.
Yeah.
You know? And so, just how exciting that is to just be in that place of,
I had just a quick example of that before the workshop. So I was talking about how I had this week where it was like the energy's building and busting through all this procrastination and self-hate. And then I had this like really intense dream about this woman from, it's funny when I was talking about it, I was like, oh yeah, that was 23 years ago. But there are people, you know, as you get older and you look back, that somehow really stand out. Mm-hmm. You know, I dated a fair amount of women, but there's, you know, and she was in the dream, and it woke up and it was completely preoccupying me. Like in a way of, well, I have to know what's going on with her now.
Uh-huh.
I want to make contact with her. I want to, you know, all of this stuff. And it was just one of those things where you can't let it go.
Uh-huh.
It kind of feels like, even though I kind of felt like, well, hold on now. First of all, that was a dream. It wasn't her. You know, I love dreams because I think it's how it actually, I project it always is, which is that isn't another person.
Yeah.
But a dream is really clear. I mean, there's no physical person there. I'm asleep. It's a picture of this person. Mm-hmm. But it has to be an aspect of me.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be. Where else would that come from?
Yeah.
I actually haven't been in a relationship with this person for 20 years. So I don't actually have a relationship with this person or know anything about them, truly.
Mm-hmm.
So this is about me, you know. But you can miss that.
Yeah.
And it can feel like, you know, it's trying to get me to look up some stuff about her and all that kind of stuff. And there's a place where you could just be identified with that and be tortured about it and get online. And, you know, you could do all of that. And then, but then you could bring it into practice. And because I was in that relationship with a mentor and we were doing the check-in, like, well, there is something going on, you know. And I just talked about it. And the mentor just helped me get to a place of seeing what was going on for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, but in such a kind way.
Mm-hmm.
Because really the mentor got to this place of like, well, what is it that you love so much about mm-hmm. being in that relationship? You know, essentially what was being mirrored back to you?
Mm-hmm.
And so we just got to basically write down and record all the things that we loved mm-hmm. about that and how we felt.
Wow.
And all the things that essentially got seen about myself.
Wow.
And it reminded me of this thing that got said in the New Year's retreat about that's what's possible in intimate relationships. That the people that we're drawn to are holding up a mirror for what we're seeking, the authenticity mm-hmm. that we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're drawn to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why this person stands out so much, is somehow the mirror they're holding up reflected all the things that I actually now really love about myself
mm-hmm.
that I couldn't get in touch mm-hmm. with. I wasn't in touch with. There's so much mm-hmm. hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it kind of went from this obsession and, you know, then a story about, well, I mean, you chose not to get married and have kids. It's too late. This is another person that's too late for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of place mm-hmm. of dissatisfaction. Back to what's actually so.
Mm-hmm.
That I now am living in the mm-hmm. thing that I love so much.
Wow.
That mirror mm-hmm. is all around me. And mm-hmm. I've, you know, so it's really brought me back to loving what is going on now
mm-hmm.
rather than being a story about I wish it was different or mm-hmm. what about mm-hmm. things too. I made this, all of that.
Wow.
There wasn't a get over it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, well, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was guidance. It wasn't mm-hmm. just like, in a way, well, it wasn't allowed to go on and on and on about the suffering.
Yeah.
But there was an acceptance of that. And to me, then what God, what we've been talking about, started to unveil like all these beliefs and assumptions, mm-hmm. and I got to unveil who is that
mm-hmm.
that gets caught up in,
mm-hmm.
Even though I really love my life, gets pulled into yeah, but I should have been married, have kids, and maybe it's not too, you know, what is that? Mm-hmm. Is it just a complete distraction from being here? Is there something that needs to be worn out? What is that? Mm-hmm. And it was just like to have a place to go to do that, mm-hmm. rather than just being tortured over,
yeah.
you know, you could have had something, or maybe you still can, rather than, oh, what I loved is actually happening now. What I loved about that relationship 20 plus years ago is mm-hmm. happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that transformation into a dream that could cause so much suffering, that transformation into recognizing the beauty of being alive now is it's everything, you know.
There's just so much in that. Yeah, you know, I mean, it all points to the beauty of a relationship with a mentor to guide us through everything that's going on. And that, you know, working with a mentor to just see everything as a mirror, in this case, the dream. Wow. I just get, what a social relief to have somebody, you know, that can own all of that and to work with it and just see, you know, embrace these beautiful aspects of Scott that might go unnoticed and might get put out there on content.
Yep.
With, you know, running around on the internet and, you know, having this person down.
I'm going to be home soon. I think she's still in Colorado.
Right.
You know, I could. Yeah. Here's this poor person living there.
Exactly.
Like, here's this person 20 some years, you know, just dumping. About a man that has actually zero.
Has zero
to do with her.
To do with her.
And even the mentor is like, well, we could write her a letter, which. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't send. That, you know, we still go through all of that. You could say everything you ever wanted. Because part of what he was saying was, well, I never really got to say goodbye, because essentially what happened was there was that kind of in love, and then what happened over and over in my process is there was that's not acceptable, and there was a sabotage, and I went into a survival mode.
Yeah.
And we never got to, and I was like, well, I never knew that. He never got to say goodbye, even though it seemed like his choice.
Mm-hmm.
It really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, we can help him with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be from that place of social relief.
Right.
And not pulling someone else into something that actually has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
And there's this, no, but I just want to sit down with her. If I can just sit down, I'm not going to do anything. I know.
And, just the fact that, you know, gosh, what you're saying, that we don't know about anybody. I mean, you know.
I mean, I laugh a lot.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, the last time we actually had any, 1996. I just like burst out into.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't. That has nothing. This is all happening inside. I mean, that something like that really helps you to see.
Yeah.
I mean, even just to say 19 something, you know?
Like, I know. And practice helps you to see, because, you know, really, I can see people that would just still override that and think that is a sign from God or something.
Yeah.
You know, they
I am right with those people. Without this fear picture that a practice allows.
Yeah.
And I've actually done stuff like that before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the mentor's like, we it's not gonna be satisfying for you.
Wow.
Oh, because really, what are we looking for?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to be loved.
Yeah.
I want to be seen.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah.
We don't have to leave presence, essentially, to go out there. I mean, that's what's been going on my whole life.
Yeah, really.
Well, I just want to be seen. I want to be loved. I want to be celebrated. Well, you know, and then go and lay that on somebody else who's essentially looking for that too, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, buddy. I get it, but it just doesn't work.
Wow.
But here's the deal. We can do it.
Wow.
And it's like to write all those things that we love, mm-hmm. to talk about ourselves and what we loved, and really about ourselves during that time.
Yeah.
It's kind of really what it was about. Mm-hmm. Like, who knows what was going, who that person really was, you know, that I was, quote, in love with.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, he doesn't ever have to, it's not like he has to give up anything.
He doesn't have to give up anything, and he gets the thing that he always wanted.
Exactly.
You know?
And to stay on that, because there was see, God, I could feel that. We're writing it, we're recording it. Like, ah, oh, there's a tear. It's like, thank you.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, but. Oh. It's just trying to
hold it off to it.
Yeah. I think, because my brother now lives, I think probably around, I remember where her parents live. It's just like, ah, that's a place where directing the attention is so important.
So important.
Because you could go start at the very beginning. Like, I'm just not going there. I'm just not going there. You could do that. And there's a place of combining it all.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a place to get in the right hand and talk about it, and then there's to get some clarity.
Yeah.
And then there's a place of like, we're not an adult. We can see what that story is, and we can see what he really wants.
Yeah.
And so we're not indulging that story anymore.
Yeah.
You know, here's that story we come back to. Whatever, it's right here. I'm right here.
Yeah.
What do you want to hear? I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, I mean, it's going back to really what you started talking about in the beginning, isn't it? I mean, there could be that place of distraction.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Where the attention is pulled over to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but it's so comforting. You know, it would be, you know, and just coming back, to the place of unlimited possibilities. I mean, you know, to pursue that would be a very limiting.
Yeah.
Although it has us convinced that that might lead us to unlimited possibilities. But to come
painting a picture.
Right.
Come over here. You'll feel like this.
You'll feel like this. It's going to feel so good, and you'll be so comfortable, and, you know, and to say no to that. Essentially, I mean, to say no to that, and yes to Scott.
Yeah, exactly.
To yes to loving Scott.
Yeah.
In a way that he already wanted, always wanted to be loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Oh, what a little miracle, huh?
Big miracle.
What a big miracle. Yeah. And the funny part is, in the dream, there's one thing I remember, she, in quotes, said, well, I hope you weren't waiting this whole, so like I basically in the dream, I was seeing her after not seeing her for a long time. Oh, I hope you weren't being unhappy waiting to reconnect so you could be happy.
Wow.
There's something like that.
Wow.
Wow. And it's like, oh, that just so represents the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, waiting around for something to be, you know, or parents to parent us, or love or life to come in. It's like, oh, so you're just going to leave the person out of love until, quote, until then.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't have to do that now.
Wow.
You don't have to do that. It's right here.
That's a goosebump moment.
Yeah.
We don't have to do it.
Yeah.
It's right here. Well, thank you all.